Matt Sullivan here to remind you to stop putting screens on your gutters. Better to schedule a free estimate with the local experts at Gutter Helmet so you stay off the ladder. Visit gutterhelmetindy.com. With Gutter Helmet, you'll never clean your gutters again. gutterhelmetindy.com.
Hammer and Nigel.
Can you believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock it!
Hammer and Nigel show. Nigel is out. Guy Relford is in. I'm Jason Hammer, and a story that we have covered from the very beginning. Back when the Hammer and Nigel show was the evening program here at WIBC, the Delphi murders of Abby and Libby, that story has just always had a piece of my heart. And I'm hell-bent on following this until the very end. And right now in our newsroom, Donnie Burgess, we call him Delphi Donnie, a great nickname I think Ethan Hatcher, our weekend host, came up with. You are the designated reporter for all things Delphi, so we're going to call you Delphi Donnie for right now. But Donnie, this is a story where a lot of people have interest in it because the victims were so young, and then it became all these different questions, all these crazy theories and, you know, a long manhunt and then ultimately a charge, but people aren't sure if that's the right guy or not. Odinism and this and that. This whole thing has got people captivated, and every day it feels like there's a new layer to the story. So, what is the latest on the Delphi trial?
Well, probably the biggest thing here, the lead of all of this, is Special Judge Fran Gall has decided to not hold the attorneys in contempt. And if you remember, the origin of that situation was the evidence leak that happened from their office last year.
Got out to the media.
Gruesome crime scene photos. They ended up on social media, ended up on YouTube. One man who was involved got so scared he was going to be arrested, he took his own life. And so all of this led to them being disqualified. Indiana Supreme Court steps in, brings them back. But there was still the question, should they be punished? Should they be held in contempt? And the judge says that the state could not prove that they willfully and intentionally leaked that evidence beyond a reasonable doubt. But she still called the defense sloppy, negligent, and incompetent. So a little dig in there towards the end. But still, that's the biggest thing that happened today.
The relationship between Judge Fran Gall, I should say the perceived relationship between Judge Fran Gall and the defense attorneys, is a rocky one.
They're not going to be exchanging Christmas cards. No way. No, absolutely not.
And by the way, I've been a trial lawyer for 40 years. I've never seen anything like this in terms of that kind of adversarial relationship between a judge and trial lawyers. I've seen lawyers get admonished. I've seen them get scolded. I've been scolded. But I've never seen anything like this. It's off the charts.
And especially for the Supreme Court to have to step in,
exactly,
reinstate, and everything that's happened. Yeah. So then, but there have been a couple more things that were dropped today as well.
So even though it appears that Judge Gall does not like personally these attorneys or the way that they're doing their business, she kind of sided with them. In a way, they're not going to be held in contempt.
No, so they are good on that. And the prosecutor, Nick McClellan, also wanted them held in contempt. He claimed that they violated the gag order by releasing statements to the media, but the judge ruled those statements were released before the gag order. I will not hold them in contempt. I will pass that along to another body that I can't quite remember the name of, but that's off to the side now. So those things are held. Those are things have been pushed off the table. Now we are getting to some other interesting matters in the case.
So what else is going on?
So the defense wanted a pretrial conference to argue their case that this trial is not going to be long enough. They do not believe 2.5 weeks is enough time. And Guy, you actually may be able to step in on this. They say that the state has about 120 witnesses ready, about 90 exhibits. The defense has about 70 witnesses and similar amounts of exhibits ready to go. And they argued that Richard Allen's constitutional rights are being violated because the state or the defense, either side, could easily take up 2.5 weeks. They want more time. The judge is not leaning towards that. They're going to talk about that this Tuesday, May 7th.
Guy, what do you think?
Well, there's a lot of case law out there that said a judge has a lot of discretion in the conduct of their courtroom, in the conduct of trials, and exactly how much time they're going to give the parties. But at some point, you get into due process issues. And let's say the prosecution, as Donnie just mentioned, takes up 90% of the time, and they turn around to the defense and say, okay, you got 2 days to put on, was it 70-some witnesses? I mean, you can't do that. You can't come anywhere close to that. So it becomes a due process issue at some point. A lot of times judges will say they're going to set those kinds of deadlines, but then the more the evidence, you know, comes in and the more they see how lengthy it really needs to be, they can become a little more flexible on that point. But I've been in trials where they said, this trial's going to be a week and a half, and that's it, and that's how much time you got. Now, what you have to do in that context is split that at least evenly, or give the defense the opportunity to have as much time as the prosecution. You can't just say it's 2 weeks and the prosecutors can take as much time as they want,
right?
Because they always go first. And so you've got to split it up evenly. Mm-hmm. But as long as both sides that have basically the same amount of evidence to produce and to introduce, they get an equal number of days or hours, then they have to figure out how to get their case in.
Donnie, what did I read about phone records and Richard Allen? What are his defense attorneys wanting to do with phone records?
So they said that there was a little bit of additional discovery that was handed over by the state. It includes some discussions between two officers back in 2017 about different cell phone ping data that was you know, the state had, and the defense is arguing that this newly acquired discovery with these different cell phone pings, apparently from Liberty German's phone, they would completely change the timeline of murders that has been laid out by the state.
Guy?
Donnie, I have a question, and there might not be any recent developments on this, but if there is, you'd know. The defense counsel came out some time ago and made some not so ambiguous comments about evidence being planted or evidence being fabricated in this case. And I think there was a loose reference made to the unfired round that was found near the bodies. Is there anything happened with that? Is that gone anywhere? Should police or prosecutors be nervous about that issue?
So it hasn't moved anywhere yet, but it could possibly this Tuesday. In addition to that pretrial conference, they are going to discuss the state's motion to, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing the word right, lamine. Does that sound right?
Motion in limine.
Limine, yeah.
It's to exclude evidence.
Yes, so this was a couple days ago. The state wants certain things like Odinism, alternate suspects, testimony from a former Rushville police officer, and different things like that the defense has brought up to not be allowed in the jury trial. And I believe part of that, Hammer, is what you just brought up, the included in their alternate theories and things they say they have evidence for is, you know, the bullet may have been somewhere else, the crime scene, the staging of the bodies, things like that. Then so that is where the bullet thing is going.
And
right
I'm sorry
now.
Is this a defense motion or a prosecution motion?
The prosecution, they want all that stuff that I just mentioned to not be allowed in the trial,
including evidence that somehow that bullet may have been planted or wasn't there originally.
And people online and just anywhere else that you are discussing the case, it sounds to them like the state does not want the defense to defend.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, I know nothing about any of that evidence.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not making any aspersions whatsoever. I'm just asking if that's gone anywhere because I heard that reference in the media.
Yep.
And just from a guy that's been following this, again, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a member of our newsroom. I'm just somebody that's been following this. I'm thinking to myself, all right, if you're the prosecution, you should have everything you need to go after this guy. Why are you so concerned about what they have to offer? To me, that's a little suspicious.
Well, yeah, that's right. You typically don't bring a case unless you're convinced as a prosecutor that you can prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. And that's
right.
When you bring that's when you charge. That's when you file what's called an information, which is the charging document, because you're confident you have everything you need to make your case.
And I'm not mad at the prosecution for trying. I mean, hell, why not try to get the defense as neutered as humanly possible? But if they're willing to die on this hill of, we don't want the Odinism, we don't want these witnesses, we don't want all of this other stuff, it's an awful lot of stuff you don't want all of a sudden.
Well,
that's
right.
Raising some questions.
But and let me tell you how a motion in limine works. And what it is like, you always have the opportunity to object to evidence at trial as it's being introduced. Like if somebody says, you know, this is a whatever, this is a picture and I want to introduce it into evidence, the other side can always say, I object, that's inadmissible because. So you don't have to file these motions, but it's smart to file them, whichever side you're on, because it means that if you file a motion in limine to say, this is inadmissible, and I want a ruling before trial starts that it's inadmissible based on the rules of evidence and the law of the state of Indiana. If the judge rules on that it's inadmissible before the trial starts, that means lawyers can't talk about it during their opening statement. Mm-hmm. That means they can't ask questions about it. You outside the hearing of the jury, you can allude to what it might have been as you're trying to talk the judge into changing their mind, but it limits things on the front end, including what can be talked about during opening statements, and that's huge.
Got about 30 seconds left, Donnie. So what's next?
So Tuesday, May 7th, pre-trial conference. They want a longer trial. State wants evidence not introduced into the trial. Jury selection begins in less than 2 weeks, May 13th. Opening statements, May 17th. And the trial, for now, will go through to May 31st. And until then, there are still more motions and things to settle, but that's where we are headed right now.
This changes every day. Where can we get more information?
WIBC.com is where it always is at.
Donnie.
Great job,
Burgess,
Donnie.
From the WIBC newsroom, thank you so much. Is This Anything? Next.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.